When Pastor Ricky called me several months ago, he said, "Brother, I'd like you to pray about something." And he explained that he wanted me to come and do one of the nights of revival here at Bethel. And my immediate reaction was to go, "Well, yeah, you know, of course." And my reaction for that is very simple. I love North Vernon. I love Jennings County. I love you guys. Sorry. I didn't recognize that was going to happen. And yet, at the same time, when he followed that up with, "Here's what I'd like you to do." I've done a lot of revivals, and most of the time a pastor will say, here's my topic. And so, like, one of the last ones I did was, I'd like you to take one of the churches from the churches out of Revelation, and I'd like you to speak to that for the revival. But Ricky didn't do that. Pastor Ricky said, I want you to share what God used to bring revival to you. And I've struggled. I actually, this has hammered me. And the reason that it has is because when I share what God has used to speak to me, I'm opening myself up to be very transparent before you. Which I'm not afraid to do, but somehow I'm nervous about it tonight. And I believe that stems from that God has a plan in what you're about to hear. And man, I want you to get it. I don't want any of us to miss what the Holy Spirit has connected us back together for. And I think all too often we come into a church setting, we come in and frankly, we come for all the wrong reasons. We come because we're members, or we come because we want to see a guy we know and have known for years, or listen to a guy sing. But God's got a plan that is so much bigger than that. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'm gonna pray for me, and I'd like you to pray for you. And here's how I'd like you to pray. And I don't mean this because I'm somebody, because most of you guys know me and know I'm not anybody. But would you pray that God would use me to speak to your heart tonight? Would you ask the Father to open up your spirit to receive what He has to say through me? Father, I come before you desiring to hide behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And as honored as I feel to be back to a place that I call home, it can't be about that kind of stuff. This can't be about a homecoming. This can't be about some experience of hugging the necks of people that I like. I need to hear a word from you, Lord, as I am reminded of the scriptures that you have used to bring about renewal and revival in my life. And so I pray, Father, for the capacity to be absolutely transparent. May I hide nothing from these people. And I pray that when we get up to leave this place, that we would say, it wasn't that we were in the presence of great singing, but we were. It wasn't that we were in the presence of somebody sharing the word that we've known for years, but that we were in the presence of the living God. Speak to us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'd like you to take your Bible and I'd like you to turn to one of the smallest books in the New Testament, the book of Philemon. We're only going to look at 6 verses out of Philemon, and I want you to hear me in that I am simply sharing with you what God has spoken to me about and about what He has used to bring revival in my life. Now, while some of this then is out of necessity going to be testimony type stuff in that I'm sharing what God has done in the past for me, I'm going to break into some preaching every once in a while, so just kind of know that. But let's look at Philemon, and we're just going to break this down into some small chunks together and look at it. And here we go. Philemon, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. We know what's happening here, that Paul is writing a letter to this guy by the name of Philemon. We know a bit about this, that Philemon had a servant, a slave, so to speak, by the name of Onesimus, and Paul is writing in this letter to say, you know, you need Onesimus as a brother more than you do as a slave, and so this is a very personal letter that was, frankly, it was not meant by Paul to be passed around. I love that about these letters, is they really were personal correspondence between a few people. But by the grace of God and the power of His Holy Spirit, this word has been passed down to us today. And this letter then, I believe, was intended for me. So Paul, a prisoner of Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. Reading this passage a while ago, I began to focus on the descriptors that Paul used in talking about the people. And the first that I began to focus on was how Paul described himself. Paul described himself as a prisoner of Christ. And I began to ask this question. Would Jesus say, I am His prisoner? I'm not saying what I would say. I mean, you see, there's the hang-up with us in our world. We have cheapened words so far and so much that we can make them say what we want them to say. But God, on the other hand, cheapens nothing. When Paul said he was a prisoner, I have been on the wrong side of jail bars. I know what that feels like when they go through all of your stuff and you're only allowed to take in a certain kind of things. They're going through your toothpaste and your shave cream. You eat when they tell you to eat, and you shower when they tell you to shower. That's a prisoner. Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians, the third chapter, I believe it's the first verse, and he writes there and he says, I am a prisoner on behalf of you, Gentiles. I'm a prisoner of Christ for you. And this prisonership that Jesus was talking to me about was, are you my prisoner for the benefit of others? I am really selfish in my life. I don't like that about me. But I can be so selfish. And to put myself in this place, do I say that Jesus would say, I am his captive? Or is it possible that Jesus would say to me that I am holding him prisoner? I mean, I want you to think about that. The end of Matthew and the Great Commission, the command, the imperative of that passage is that we are to go and make disciples, and you can't make disciples if you haven't told them about the reality of a Savior. And if you haven't told them, but you know him, then you too are holding him prisoner. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. I find myself at times, I believe that it should be as natural to me as breathing to share the gospel with people. And sometimes I have to make myself do it. And I mean that. It's like I have to. I've got to make myself. I've started to run, which is... Don't do it. Just don't do it. I ran at lunchtime today, and it was like every step was like, I'm quitting this. I am not taking another step. But I made myself do it. I've been making myself do it for a year. And if I can make myself run, then I better make myself share the gospel. Because I've been told to by the one who holds me captive. If indeed I am his prisoner. In that same first verse, another descriptor that Paul uses when he speaks of Philemon now, he calls him his fellow laborer. And as I read this passage, I wondered if Paul would call me his fellow laborer. Like so many of you in this room, I've worked with my hands and my back. I have worked with people that I thought, that guy, I don't want to work with him. I mean, I've worked with people that like, it's just, come on, dude. I mean, all you want's the paycheck. We got a task to do here. And so I look at this passage and the descriptor of being called a fellow laborer as Paul speaks to Philemon and says, you are somebody I co-labor with. Or might Paul say to me, I work against him. I mean, what was Paul about? I mean, what was he about? He was about the furtherance of the gospel, of the increase of the kingdom. He was so much about that he was basically willing to surrender, he said, even his own salvation that his brothers and sisters might know. Oh, It's the kind of guy I want to work with. But would he say the same about me? In the second verse of Philemon, Paul continues this. It's basically just the introduction to the letter, but I'm getting beat up by it. So I'm going to go back and read the first verse again so it makes sense. But it's Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. We don't really know who Apphia is. Many scholars would suggest that this is either Philemon's wife or Archippus' wife or just somebody else. The name is never spoken of again in the New Testament. But she's beloved. Archippus is frankly one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Archippus is mentioned one other time, the very last part of Colossians 4:17. And it says this, Paul writes and says, "And say to Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord." I wonder why Archippus is spoken of that way. I know about Archippus because I have studied that passage in Colossians and I've used that, but I think God is speaking to me through that name again. A lot of us are starters, aren't we? We begin a lot of stuff. We begin relationships. We begin jobs. We begin ministries. We begin a lot of stuff. But you know, my friends, God is calling us much more to be finishers than starters. God spoke to me. You know about Solomon. I mean, Solomon, that essential character of the Old Testament, the son of David, born of that troubled relationship. And he is so, so on fire in the beginning and so decadent at the end. He was a starter, but not a finisher. The Apostle Paul, and in fact, I encourage you to stick your finger there in Philemon and turn back to Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. And I want you to hear what Paul's intention is when he talks about this. And we won't be able to go too deeply into it because of time, but look at verse 22 just to kind of begin there. Paul, writing about his own journey in life, says, "And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying the chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul says, I'm going. Yet everywhere I go, the prophets of God are saying to me that you will suffer if you go. And Paul bows his back. And he says, I press on. I press on because I must finish the race. I can, with Paul's in-depth knowledge of the Old Testament, I have to believe that he's thinking of Solomon. I have to believe that he's saying, no, God, don't let me end like him. May I finish the race that you have called me to. My friends, we're all called to be finishers. You are here tonight. This is a Monday night. You're here tonight because either in this church or the church that you are a part of, you are connected. You desire more. We are in a race. Your journey will be different than my journey. It'll be different than the person next to you. But you are called to bring it to completion. You're called to fight it all the way to the end. And all the way to the end, the enemy is going to be against you. Be a finisher. Because that's what I was told in this passage. None of us know what tomorrow is going to bring. You know, Kathy and I have a plan for retirement at some point. That's a joke. God has a plan. And we need to move to the finish with every step of our lives, with everything that we do. All right, let's go back to Philemon. That was some preaching right there that just kind of led into that part. I'm still back in verse 2 still. We'll get to the end of this, really. There's a descriptor that Paul uses for Archippus here. And he says, he calls him his fellow soldier. And I asked that question, would Paul describe me as a fellow soldier? You see, it's two different kinds of things. It's a worker and a soldier. I have been a soldier. Perhaps some of you have also. And there were some guys that I served with that could do all the drill. They could do all the stuff. But when it came time for battle, I didn't want them anywhere near me because they were going to get me killed. Paul is talking about somebody who's got his back. A fellow soldier is somebody who would fight to the death beside another because we're brothers in the same cause. Do you know what I find in the Church of America right now? Is we find all these reasons to pick apart the brother. We find every reason to say why I can't support the work of that guy. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be fellow soldiers fighting for the same cause, for the same Christ, for the same King, because he has kept and held us captive for that very purpose. So I wonder, would Paul describe me as a fellow soldier, or would Paul say, I'm just a pretender? When push comes to shove, you just get in the way. I had a prayer partner for the full duration of my time here in North Vernon. Bob Oakes. Some of you may know him. Some of you might not like him. That'd be okay with me. I'm not a Bob Oakes apologist or anything. I love him, however. And we might have to fight if you talk bad about him. Because I love him. He's the first one that I heard say this. He said, Bob, if Satan is on the other side of that door, and I've got to go face him, I want to have you by my side. That's the kind of warrior I want to be. And each one of us should be saying, God, what do I need to do to be that kind of man or woman? What do I need to be? How do I need to change? What do I need to surrender that my brothers and sisters in Christ would say, I've got to go fight Satan and I need you to go with me? Because frankly, in my time in Christianity, I've found more people I don't want to take with me than those that I do. May God bring about that transformation in our lives tonight, that we begin the movement to become that kind of man or woman. I'm really an emotional mess. There's another thing in this second verse, and I'm sorry if this is making you feel like I'm dragging through this, but it's the greeting to Philemon. Okay, he says here in that second verse, he said to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and look what he says to Philemon. I bring a greeting to you and to Archippus and to Apphia, whoever that person is, or even however you pronounce it. Remember, a little ministry help for you if you're a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or whatever. If you don't know how to pronounce something, just pronounce it with confidence. And then say it repeatedly. That's all you need to do. Okay, so he says this very interesting thing to me. He says, and I bring a greeting to the church in your house. Now, you know, we could say, well, Bob, they were meeting in house churches then. What do you mean? Yeah, that's probably what that meant. That's not what it meant to me. You know what the church, the word for church, right? Ecclesia. It comes from two prepositions. It comes from a preposition that means ek, which is out from, and kaleo, which is to call. And so it's out from and to, and called to. And so you're called out from the world and called to God. So as I read this, the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart and says, Bob, is there a church meeting in your home? I mean, how many of us it take to be a church? Or two or more, right? And so, are the practices of the called out ones happening in your house? Is there worship going on between you and your wife and your children? Or your grandkids when they come over? Or has that been something you just said, well, we'll let Brother Ricky deal with that? Is there Bible study? Is there prayer? Are we doing the stuff of the called out ones who have been called out from the world and to God and for God? That's what sets us apart. If you're a part of First Baptist North Vernon, you know I said this many, many times. We're the church when we leave here. It's in the going. And all too often, we segregate our lives. We act one way at work, and we act one way on vacation, and we act one. There is no multiplicity of Christianity. Okay, we're finally going to get to chapter verse 3. And we're actually going to read three verses now, so you're strapped on. Verse 3 says, "Grace to you." This is when Paul's getting to the meat of what he's saying. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." And I thought to myself, this is amazing. Paul is hearing about Philemon's great faith. And I thought, if I'm a contemporary of Paul, is he hearing of my great faith? Shouldn't we be hearing of each other's great faith? I mean, shouldn't that be the story of the called out ones' lives? That we hear it over and over and over. That we hear of great faith as someone is up in the hospice in Columbus and their family and that individual are facing it with great joy. Do we hear it? I'm a Crowder fan, sorry. But I do appreciate that you sang some songs that I knew the words of. He wrote a little book, David Crowder did, and it's called "Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, but Nobody Wants to Die." I laughed too the first time I heard that, and then I thought about it. Wait a second. When I go to the doctor and he reads me the test results, he says, "Bob, you've got 6 months." I want to be the guy that says, "Yes! Why? Because this life isn't it. Don't you feel the pain of this world that we live in? Don't you sense it every time we turn around, the struggle that Satan throws at us? Don't you feel it?" Will Paul hear of my great faith? And there's another thing that he says here. He says, I've heard of two things. Of your faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus, and then your faith, it's translated love in other places, and your love toward all the saints. I got hammered right here pretty hard. And it's the same question I've asked every time of these, but would Paul hear of my love for all God's people? It's that silly word, all. I recognize that more than likely Paul would hear of my love for some of God's people. I'm being transparent. Maybe I haven't been saved long enough. I don't know. I find some people easier to love than others. I find it easy to love people that love me. And I struggle when I know somebody doesn't like me. And that's wrong. When Jesus went to the cross for me, if I would have been alive, I would not have been for His living, but for His death. And yet He loved me. And He came running to me. I want to show you a video. You're going to think this may be weird, but this is a video that Chick-fil-A uses to train the people that work there. Brother Matthew, make it happen. To America when she was 12. Recently received her citizenship. After years of fighting cancer, he is now cancer-free. Single mom, raising a family alone. Trying to make ends meet. Mom died during childbirth, and Dad blames her. Dreamed of children, but struggled with infertility. Husband of 49 years died last month. Today would have been their 50th anniversary. Parents divorced when he was 7. Struggles to find acceptance and love. Worked hard through high school and accepted into the college of her dreams. Only son was deployed overseas to a war zone. Every life has a story, if we bother to read it. In the sixth and final verse we will look at this afternoon. Paul in verse 5 says, heard of your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus, toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I love it because Paul tells Philemon, dude, I'm praying that you become effective in the sharing of your faith. Please understand the given here. In order to be effective in sharing your faith, you must be sharing your faith. And we're to be sharing our faith with all of those people we see every single day that have a story. All of those people that I have found it easy to distance myself from, they too have a story worthy of the cross. And we sit in our churches and we segregate ourselves from all of those who desperately, desperately need Jesus. There have been so many surveys and things that are done to try to determine why Southern Baptists in America today have ceased to share the gospel. We don't need a survey, do we? It's because we don't care enough for people. Because if you care about somebody, you find a way to tell them, I know. Because I spent decades trying to get my dad to understand the reality of a Savior. Why? Because he's my dad. But we are called to care for all of these around us. It's the people we're going to pass at Walmart and that we're just, they're different. I was different too. I mean, I really wonder how many of you, when you saw me on the street before I came to Christ, would have even looked at me twice. I don't blame you, because I wouldn't have looked at you twice, but I was being a great sinner. What's your excuse for that? So the question is, everything I've turned here that God spoke to me about, would Paul be able to pray for my effectiveness because I'm actively sharing my faith? There was a time I struggled even more than I do now. I make myself do it. And you might think, well, Bobby, you shouldn't have to make yourself. I agree with you. I will make myself until it just comes to be something that I do out of just breathing. I'm not there. That's my transparency before you. If I've shared Christ with you, it's because I made myself. And I pray I would do it again and again and again and again and again. Look at verse 6 again with me, though, because it actually... Paul says something that's really quite interesting to me here. So he's prayed for that Philemon would become effective. But look how. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How do I become effective? By acknowledging every good thing that I have in Christ. Am I recognizing all I am in Christ? Are you recognizing all that you have in Christ? I don't. And I all too quickly forget also. I made a list of just a few things that I have in Christ. I know you can't read that, and I'm sorry. I obviously should have used great big letters, like when Paul wrote. Okay, this is what I have in Christ, and there's so many others. Great Bible study to do sometime. Read through Scripture. Go through the Old Testament, do the New if you feel a little pressed for time. And every one of those places that you discover an I am, that you are, not the I ams of Jesus, but that you are now because of what Christ has done for you, just write it down in the back of your Bible. Here's a couple. I am blameless and free of accusation. I am a son of light and not of the darkness. I have a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. I am a member of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a person for God's own possession by His choice. Praise God. I am an enemy of Satan. I have the right to come boldly before the throne. I am the salt of the earth, a city on the hill, and the light of the world. I have the mind of Christ. When I begin to be reminded of who I am because of what He has provided, I begin to have a confidence that I just couldn't have any other way. That's why we have to be in God's Word, friends. That's why when your pastor says to you, read the Word of God, hide it away in you because you need it. Because without it, you will be less than you can be. It will be impossible to finish the race. Short of becoming Solomon. This is what God used to revive me. A reminder that I'm still broken and wounded. And it won't matter how many years that I am going to be a believer, I will still be broken and wounded. But when He reminds me of what He has provided for me, when He shows me over and over and over that I am a child of the King, then I raise my head and I get back to the task. And I move myself until His Spirit will move me to do the right things. I shared this with my children for as long as I can remember. It is always right to do what's right. And I need no other thing to tell me what's right than this. I remind you again. I don't know very much. But I do know that this is the Word of God. And that when I disagree with it, I'm wrong. Not it. Brother Ricky, I'm going to turn this over to you to allow you to bring this to conclusion. Friends, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for me. God, I ask that You cause us to make a choice tonight. That you speak to our very hearts and You say, my child, You're not where You need to be. And I pray, Father, that somehow, some way, Your Holy Spirit has spoken to every single person. That You have shared with them some place of which they need to move from. And may we move to You. May we be revived, and not because of our work or even because of our desire, but because You desire us to be more in love with You than we ever have been before. Show us the way, because we don't know the way, and that's obvious. I thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The thought of revival is a mixed bag. It's a shame that we need it. But I ask the men to do the very thing that Bob has done tonight, and that is, granted the fact that, as the old hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. The good news is God does not leave us prone to wander. He runs us down. Thank goodness for that. He takes His word. He stirs us. He meets us in the songs of worship. And He restores us. We've been asked some marvelous questions tonight. I would urge you to let Jesus answer the questions for you. Some of you are too harsh on yourselves, and some of you are too dismissive. So I invite you tonight in these moments as we listen to our brothers sing. Jesus, what word tonight do I need to hear from you? Am I a prisoner who's always running away, trying to escape? Am I a fellow soldier? Am I a co-laborer? Do I love the saints? Lord, what is the word you have for me tonight? Jesus, you speak that word to my heart. Challenge me. If there's someone here who's never openly professed their faith in the Lord Jesus, tonight's a marvelous time to do that. He's worthy of your devotion, your public devotion. And so as my brother sings, I'm going to be here at the front. And if you need to respond in some public way, then you do that. We'll sort out the church membership stuff later. If you are a better fit at some other church in town, that's just fine. This is about the kingdom tonight. And so you be attentive to the Spirit of God. Let Jesus answer the question. Jesus, what do you think of me? Where am I tonight? And let Him speak to you. He's more anxious to speak than you are to hear. Listen attentively as our brother leads us.